Grumpy Old Gets this week. Neil Bowles, Kara, and Felix Dogg himself. Morning,
good,
Neil.
Good morning, Mark.
Are you all right? You're in good form?
Very good. Here for the last time, our swan song.
It's terrible, isn't it? Tim Edwards from the Ipswich Town Supporters Club.
I'm delighted to be here, albeit, yes, sadly for the last time, I guess.
Well, I guess it is, but you know, they'll reinvent. You know what the BBC's like. They'll reinvent anything.
Yeah, but they'll bring it back in 40 years' time, won't they?
I don't know.
Comedy shows.
We're all living longer. They got Pole Dark back. They got Come Dancing back. Just putting another word on the front.
Good night, sweetheart.
I'm not sure I've got the right body for the remake of Pole Dark.
And Matt Porter, who runs Matt Porter Web Design at Innovation Martlesham. You well, Matt?
How are you? I'm very well, thank you.
I like the what you brought that in for, the flat cap.
Well, because it's Grumpy Old Gits, Mark.
Is this a new purchase?
Well, yeah, because I had my head shaved for charity 3 or 4 weeks ago, so it was in case my head gets cold, but the weather's been quite nice still,
you're
hasn't
looking
it?
Quite tanned, actually.
I know.
You don't look grumpy enough.
I know.
Yeah, everyone's looking a bit too happy because the sun's been out. You've got a nice tan on you as well, Neil.
Living in Felixstowe, we try and get along the old seafront when we can, and yeah, it's been lovely, hasn't it? It's been wonderful, and I tell you what, it's been so good to see so many families and kids on the beach in Felixstowe all through the holidays, swimming and having a great time. Lovely. Yeah.
Felixstowe's
very
absolutely
grumpy.
Booming, isn't it? I have to say, though, I had an experience in Felixstowe the other day that I haven't had anywhere else in the world apart from one place. I got out of my car and I must have had the air conditioning set a little bit too cool. And as I got out of the car a couple of mornings ago, my glasses steamed up as I wasn't. That happened to me in Singapore once, but Felixstowe? Global warming, possibly.
Only that happens when I walk into the chippy. It's one of those things I discovered when I started wearing glasses. So everything's fine. You walk on a sort of cold night and you walk into the chippy, your glasses steam up. That's an odd thing.
It's very true, yeah, I'd say.
Neil, do you want to start us off?
Oh, what am I going to start with?
Whatever you like. Go on.
When in a long supermarkets, I've been on the old Grumpy Old Gits a good few times over the last couple of years or whatever it is, and I think supermarkets are featured quite regularly because, as good as they are in many ways, they're also places of great frustration, I find. And the thing I've noticed, and it happened to me yet again this week, and it probably happens most weeks, is when you go to a supermarket where they're quite busy and they haven't got enough checkouts open, so you accept you're going to have to queue for a while, and as you get closer to the queue and you might get to the point where you start unloading your food from your trolley onto the dreaded conveyor belt, and then suddenly they decide to open the till next door, and the checkout person jumps on that till and says, "Would you like to come round?" And all the people right at the back of the queue get to dive in first. They don't ever go to sort of the front of the queue of where people have been queuing for ages and say, "Would you people at the front who have been queuing the longest, would you like to come round first?" They never do that. It's just a massive rush from the back, and it just drives me mad.
It's human nature, isn't it?
It kind of is, but I have to say, in my local co-op, people are really, really polite. And when they open the second till, which they'll do if we're queuing all the way around the shop, out the street, up all the rest of it, people actually do ask each other, "Would you like to go next? Would you like to go next?" It kind of organises itself, but that's the only place I've ever known that work properly. Maybe there's something special about the Ipswich co-op.
Yeah, the hub, which is a big building in the middle of Adastral Park, where all the restaurants are, and they have the same thing where there'll be a queue of people, and then they'll open another till, and it's just a bun fight, you know. There's no order at all. It's just whoever gets there quickest is next in line.
Is this about manners, ultimately?
Well, it's funny, really, because I think British people are so well known for queuing and being polite. And funny, similar to you, Tim, we've got a little local co-op around the corner to us, and it's very much you go first, you're next, because it's not like a traditional supermarket kind of check-up set out. It's a little bit different. But most British people are very fair with queuing, and that supermarket queues, in that circumstances, I think, are the only time we suddenly ignore that courtesy that we normally show elsewhere, and it just really annoys me. Why can't the staff member just come out and say, "Oh, can some of the people from the front like to come round, please?" It wouldn't take a lot. It's just one of those silly things that makes me grumpy, and that's why I got invited on this show.
I think if anyone goes skiing, or everyone's been skiing in Europe or in places like that, they'll understand that the queuing idea or the queuing system is generally a British thing, not because it's it's a free-for-all. You know, people will just step in front of you. You leave a gap, that's for someone else to stand in front of you rather than anything else.
So. It's odd because I go to Italy quite a lot. Mm. My wife loves Italy, so we go there quite a lot. And they love a queue there.
Do they?
But there is always someone who just completely disregards it, and nobody says anything. Nobody says anything. There'll always be one person who'll just go straight to the front. They just stand there. You know, they start at the side and then they wheedle their way in. Above it. And nobody says anything. They just, yeah, okay, fair enough. But you would go off the scale, wouldn't you?
I'd kick off.
No,
it's funny though, isn't it? We just tend to accept it, generally speaking.
Yeah.
If someone does push in.
My mum tells the story of when she first worked in London, which was back in the late 1950s. She was brought up in Bristol, and it took her hours to get home the first day. And my dad said, well, what on earth happened? Well, I had to wait for four or five buses before I could get on one. He said, you weren't queuing, were you? Nobody in London queues to get on the bus. And that is possibly an exception still.
Yeah, but it might be right.
The other thing is you get where you're in the queue and you suddenly see something in a cabinet just beside you. And you think, oh, I'd have one of those. So you take one step out of the queue to
that's
get it.
You've gone.
And you've lost your space.
You've lost your space. You're out.
The only thing that I would disagree with you on, the queuing is one thing. Yes, it's annoying when someone jumps and opens another till. What annoys me more is when you get towards the front and the person in front of you has forgotten something, and then they've already registered half the items through, so they can't cancel the sale, and they're off halfway down the supermarket.
I've forgotten my tin of beans. I'll be back in 10 minutes.
I'll be back in 10 minutes, when everybody else is just standing there, and then they have to open the next aisle because the queue's just backing up. Ridiculous.
See, when I worked in a pub, you could serve multiple people off one till. So why can't they just save that person's position and then serve some more people?
You're the web geek. You can come up with this kind of stuff.
Yeah, actually, modern technology means that tills mean you can't serve multiple people so easily these days.
Yeah,
that's right.
Why would you not just serve it? Right, okay, hold, and then I can start somebody else here.
Yeah,
that would be the perfect.
They'd be calling in the shop steward, I should imagine.
Well, I don't know, Matt. I would write that down as a little idea.
Okay. Well, actually, a shop steward would get round my grump, wouldn't it? Because they could do the stewarding of the queue.
True.
Well,
exactly. Everybody.
Very good.
If it doesn't work, everybody out. Well, I think a lot of people would back you up on the queue in the supermarket. We do love a queue, though. I think that's fair enough. Tim, where do you want to start us off this time?
Well, I have this theme of things I want to buy but can't. Right. Like £20 worth of petrol.
Yeah.
you go to the filling station, you've got a nice crisp £20 note, and you think, I'll buy £20 worth of petrol. And you try and get it exactly on the £20. In the olden days, you kind of could get it to a round number because it wasn't so expensive, so it didn't go around so flipping quick, did it?
It was of course, gallon, now, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes. So. And so nowadays, of course, it inevitably clicks over. Now, I'm told there are a very, very few filling stations in this country. There are many on the continent where you can press a little button and it will dispense exactly that amount. 20 or 30 or 40 or 50. Just how much simpler that would make all of our lives.
Yeah, well, we've got the technology to do it now. That's the thing.
Well, we get stressed about it as well, don't we? Because we think, oh no, I've tipped over. And then you get into the petrol station and generally they have a little saucer of pennies for you to take the odd penny if you need to.
You must live very rural.
No, I've seen it many times.
But it doesn't make any sense, does it? In this day and age, to have, you know, you've got everything there. You can pay for everything you want at the pump. But in most cases, as you say, it's starting to come in now where you press a button and say, I want 20 quid's worth, I want 30 quid's worth, I want, you know, all that. Well, you can't do that. That doesn't make any sense at all.
I wonder what would happen, though, if you decided you want 30 quid's worth of petrol, but you didn't realise your car's only got the capacity for 25 quid's worth or something. So you've... How would it work then? Would it still just keep pumping out?
You get a new pair of shoes.
you want 30 quid's worth, it's going to keep coming.
I think the reason they allow them to roll over is because it's a kind of, oh, let's go round the block thing. So I'm already gone past, so I'll carry on round until the next round number. So that £20 turns into £30 just for rolling over by a couple of pennies.
And, of course, they don't want you to go and spend your nice, crisp, new £20 note and nothing else. They want you to go in and buy something else. And if you've gone over the £20, you're more likely to add that pint of milk, loaf of bread or whatever.
Because you've broken into a...
And the majority of us pay by card, I suppose, so it doesn't really matter. But if you've got 20 quid with you and you want 20 quid's worth and you accidentally go to £20 and 20 pence or something, you know, they're going to want that 20 pence and you haven't got it. So you have to be so careful, don't you? Just that last few pennies, little squirts of petrol.
Well, the answer to that, though, Neil, is just to say to them, well, In the boot, I've got a little bit of pipe. You can get it out yourself. You can siphon it out. If you want the 20p back, feel free. Make sure it's exactly 20p or I'll be asking for some change. That's probably the way around it. But it does make you a bit wistful, isn't it, for the days of when you were trying to get round to the gallon and it used to roll round on a little thing where it come round to zero and you're trying to get it to exactly the right point.
Or wistful for the days when a man used to come and serve
you. Before the self-service days when someone would be there doing it for you.
That still seems to happen more abroad than it does here.
Yeah.
You rarely see it.
And they wash your screen.
I bet we can find some garages in Suffolk where it still happens.
But funnily enough, Tim, your grump was about you want to buy buying things that you can't buy.
Yes.
The thing in a similar vein that really annoys me most of all is car parks, where you end up paying for time that you don't use because you want to avoid getting a ticket. Now, Linda and I went to the dentist and then we were going to the shops yesterday and I thought 2 hours will cover it. But I ended up paying for the next category, which was 4 hours, just in case. So you went and we got back in just under the 2 hours. So I paid for parking time. The day when the man was in the little shed and on the way out. But again, with the technology, they could just charge you for the time you've used as you leave. There's a ticket that could be, I think they do it in the Buttermarket car park. You get a disc or a ticket and then you pay for the time you have used whilst you're out. And that really annoys me because you end up paying for more time than you need. The council must be making a fortune on it.
Automation is coming in and actually might help. I was somewhere, I don't remember where it was. It may have been Greater London somewhere a few weeks ago. And I went up to the car park machine to try and work out how much to pay. And it flashed up a series of registration numbers. And I had to hit the screen when I recognised mine.
Really?
And then when I went to leave, I just had to key in my registration number. Up came the amount. And it told me how much I owed. And it said, and it then says that if you haven't paid, then there'll be a penalty of £1 or £2, but we'll grab your number and we'll chase you for it.
Oh, hang on, Matt's got an app out.
That is an app which I featured on App of the Week some years ago, and it's called Ringo, and you'll find that most car parks support Ringo. So if you download the app, register your car or cars, you can then pay using the app. So you don't actually put a ticket or anything in the car, you pay using the app, and it will also remind you when you're coming up for your ticket to end and you can extend it.
Mm. Oh, right, you can extend it.
Well, that's a good idea, isn't it? Technology has to be positive somewhere along the line.
Yeah, I mean, you pay a slight premium for using the service, 15p or something like that, I can't remember. Oh, but it's a good little system, that is.
It really bugs me. If you pay for an hour because you think, oh, I'm just going to pop into this shop and that shop and that's it, and then you bump into a friend in town and they say, do you fancy a coffee or something? And then, well, no, I can't. I've got to get back to my car park. Or
it's more frustrating when the minimum's 2 hours and you only want 15 minutes. Yeah.
You end up spending less when you're going out. It's in their interest to have you.
I think these app things are wonderful. It's only recently I discovered that an app isn't just half an apple. and one day I might get a phone that allows me to do apps.
Oh, that'd be way into the future, I would have thought. Tim Edwards, Neil Bowles and Matt Porter are here today, our Grumpy Old Gits for Friday. And we are now going to start a directory of garages that still have a petrol pump attendant.
Ooh.
So we have our first one in. Sandra has texted in, Shotley Corner Garage has a pump attendant.
Wow.
So there we are. So we'll,
yet another excuse to head down to Shotley.
If I had a pen, I'd write it down, Sandra, but thank you very much for getting it. Any others in Suffolk? We need to find some more places in Suffolk where you can still have a good old-fashioned petrol pump.
The trouble is it's £10 a gallon.
That's all beside the point. It doesn't matter. But just you pay for the extra. It's all about paying for convenience. Very popular now.
Yeah.
We've mentioned Shotley Corner Garage. Wesselton Garage still serves you with fuel, says Sam.
Ooh.
Oh, and just down the road, the Star, which is one of Suffolk's finest pubs.
Well, there we are. There's a day out in itself.
But obviously, be very careful if you're driving and all the rest of it.
Yeah, well, get somebody else to drive.
10 pints of lager and 10 gallons of lager.
Yeah, it's one of the finest real ale pubs in all of Suffolk, mate.
Get it right, it's a pint of beer and a gallon of petrol, not the other way around.
Shucks, I knew I was going wrong. There's a campsite next door, you'll be all right.
There's more. Cook & Son, East Burghold. Vale Garage, Stratford St Mary, both use petrol pump attendants, says Sally in Ipswich.
Ooh. And Bod has just said his very first job when he left school was petrol pump attendant, and it's a fine profession.
Well, and indeed it is. As they all know, at LS Eaves Limited, there's more.
There's more!
At Stoke-by-Nayland, will fuel your vehicles as they are a very obliging garage, says LS Eaves, probably.
Since the one across the road.
Yeah. Well, then might as well give them the option. They, you know, apparently they're not dying out after all. There's still a chance for you to get your your car attended to, and it's still in the windscreen.
Brilliant, brilliant.
And all that sort of thing. Now, Matt, what would you like to bring to our attention?
Shall I talk about expensive and overpackaged gluten-free products?
Go on.
Sounds all really highbrow compared to petrol pump attendants, doesn't it? But I've recently been diagnosed with celiac disease, which means that my body can't handle gluten, and there's a reaction and it causes all kinds of unpleasant things. And lots of people have celiac disease, so we have to eat gluten-free products. So there's a whole industry kind of sprung up recently, really, which is selling gluten-free. So if you go to the healthy food aisles or whatever in supermarkets, you'll see there's gluten-free bread, which is generally about £3 a loaf instead of 75p. Yeah. And it looks similar to loaves of bread, similar depending on the type, but it might have a green tinge about it. Some of a little bit of a green tinge.
I've got some bread like that in my cupboard.
Yeah. And also, what it's very either it has great big holes in it when you start cutting it, or it just disintegrates when you use it. So it's a bit of an iffy market, the gluten-free, especially the bread, because the gluten holds the bread together. And so replacing it with something that does it. But what you also get is that instead of it just being in a plastic bag like a normal traditional loaf of bread, it will be in a very thick package with different trays underneath it holding two parts of the bread, and it's all very elaborate and expensive. And I wonder if it would be easier if they just put it in the standard packaging and brought the price down, because the packaging's probably worth about £2.95 of that £3. Yeah. And funnily enough, we have some macaroons we brought in today, and these are gluten-free.
Yeah.
And you can see that again, they're in a, you know, a thick plastic packaging and in a tray as well, and it's all very elaborate and probably costs slightly more than your average.
They cost more than the chalk mini rolls, which normal people here are enjoying.
Normal people,
Sorry, Matt.
That's okay. Well, normally, you see, when I am in public, I have this guy I have to pay that rings a bell in front of me to warn people that you know I might be unclean.
Yeah, but presumably in the case of the bread, though, it has to have the tray, otherwise it just falls to bits by the sound.
Well, that's
it.
Possibly one of the reasons. Some of it's better than others, but generally you can tell. The popular gluten-free breads, you go into a restaurant and they'll give you gluten-free bread, and you know that they've just taken it out of a packet of the same stuff. Yeah,
is it dearer to produce, though? Is it a much more labour-intense
Well, it's
process,
the flour. Or? The flour is, you can't use wheat flour to make bread, so you use an alternative such as rice flour, possibly, or soya or something like that. But generally, I don't know whether rice flour is terribly more expensive than wheat flour.
The process is a lot more complicated. I'm sure if you pop onto YouTube, it will show you exactly how the chemicals are mixed. You probably then save a lot of money by not buying it. I was going to mention that in opposite the gluten-free bread bit in the supermarket, there'll be all the standard breads. And the other week, I love German rye bread and pumpernickel and things like that, which come in a kind of heavy breeze block type block and thinly sliced, really tasty. And I was shocked and delighted to discover it said no wheat gluten products in this. So actually, because they've been on sale for years as a standard product, they don't put them in the expensive gluten-free bit.
Right.
But they're equally good, and so everybody rush out and have a bite of some of that,
because it's lovely as well.
It is truly lovely stuff.
Typically heavy, slightly sweet rye bread.
Oh, listen to him. Look,
traditionally made with coarsely ground rye.
This sounds like an advert, doesn't it? This is get your Matt Porter bread here.
This is not just any bread.
This is pumpernickel.
This is pumpernickel.
I must admit, though, I felt terrible as Matt and Tim, you both attended my little soiree the other week for my birthday, and it was a legend how much food was there, wasn't it? I mean, there was just so much thrown away, it was just ridiculous. But I didn't cater for gluten-free people until a few days before we bumped into a mutual friend, Lynn, and she's a celiac, and she said, oh, she'll get a few bits and pieces, because I looked in the shop and I hadn't got a clue what to buy. So she catered for a few bits, but generally
rice, cake and cheese.
Yeah, I let people down. And
well, everyone
and
else
I really
was eating scotch eggs and stuff, and I'm sitting in the kitchen with a lump of cheese and a rice cake.
I hadn't got a clue about what to get and what the choices were, so I do apologise for that. So if you're having a party, people, make sure you cater.
I'm having to provide medical medical assistance to your guests when they fall over.
That's another story.
That wasn't because of the lack of gluten-free products. That's because one of the gluten-free options, instead of beer, is cider. And if you drink too much of that, you will fall over.
Well, yeah, that's very true, isn't it? All right, OK, we'll have another issue that is getting on our grumpy old gits nerves at the moment, in just a moment. First of all, we need to launch our competition. The jingle's somewhere. I can't find it. It'll be somewhere along the line. So, your chance to win not only the Ugly Duckling, but also a pair of tickets to see 60s Gold at the Ipswich Regent on the 28th of September. Plus, is this really? Plus this as well, tickets to the Newmarket Open weekend on the 17th and 18th of September. It includes admission to all attractions across the weekend, plus admission to the Premier Enclosure for an afternoon of racing on the Saturday. Ha! Who wants a duck when you've got all of that? I'm sorry to be disloyal, but, you know. So get on the phones. All you need to do is to determine what this song is.
Caught up in your wishing well, your hopes inside it. Take your love and promises and make them last.
His voice is fabulous,
is
isn't
that,
it?
Is that James Hazel's grandson?
Yeah, absolutely fabulous, that is.
Let's give it another go.
Caught up in your wishing well, your hopes inside it. Take your love and promises and make them last.
I've got it.
You can tell it's James Hazel's grandson because it walks around with compression in its voice. Sounds like such a bit of compression. 01473 212121. You have to phone us to be in the draw for your chance to win not only a pair of tickets to see 60s Gold, but also the Newmarket Open weekend, 17th and 18th of September. If you know what they've got, one more.
Caught up in your wishing well, your hopes inside it. Take your love and promises and make them last.
Now, I'm not reading the words out. You can have a go on your own without me explaining any further. 01473 212121. I think that's fair enough. Right, OK. Now, Neil, stupid questions.
Stupid questions.
Hmm. Lots of them that you want to complain about.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Sorry to point
you... I thought you were saying I've been asking you stupid questions. Sorry. I thought that's a bit off.
Sorry
bit
to point harsh. You towards your own ideas, but anyway.
Yeah. Facebook groups and computers. Computers, I think, are making people so inherently lazy these days. People are just relying on their computer or other people to look things up on their computers for them. Now, I'm in one or two different Facebook groups, and they're very, very useful. For example, the party that I just mentioned, I went on my particular Facebook group and said, anyone know a good caterer? And some people suggested a great caterer who I ended up using. So they're very, very useful for some things. But what drives me mad is when you suddenly get someone says something like, what time does Morrison's close in Felixstowe, or something like that? And you think, well, they're on a computer. I could Google quicker than typing that message. I could go, Morrison's Felixstowe opening time, and it tells you everything you need to know. But people are asking others, and others are silly enough, I think, to then answer them and indulge in them and say, well, I think it closes at 8 o'clock tonight because my granddaughter works there and she normally gets home about 8:10. And you get this whole conversation about the time that the library closes in Felixstowe or something. And all these, and I think people are just getting so lazy that they can't be bothered to Google it themselves, or they're not thinking, but they want other people to look it up for them. And I just find it a bit peculiar, really.
I think, it's peculiar behaviour. I run a community Facebook group, and there's a lot of discussion amongst the... There's more discussion amongst the members about why people do that than actually answering the questions. So I think that... I think it's actually just... I don't know. It's difficult to say, really, because it's the obvious thing is to just type it in Google or even ask Google. You can just click the little microphone and say...
What time does Morrison's...
Exactly, yeah. There is a very good website called LMGTFY. Let me Google that for you, which is quite funny. So if you go on to LMGTFY, it's for all those people who find it more convenient to bother you with their question rather than Google it for themselves. So if you go on there, you can do the search, and then it produces you a link you can then send to that person, and it shows the mouse going across the screen, typing in the question in Google, and then giving the answer and say, was that so difficult, or something like that. So lmgtfy.com is very good.
That's a very, very good answer. But the people do that. Years ago, in between jobs, you know how it is, I worked as a British Telecom operator in the days when it was called British Telecom. Ooh. It was almost in the days when it was still called the Post Office.
GPO.
But then you would pick up everything. When people would dial 100 and ask you all and sundry. And that was in the days when there were no computers. So it's fine you ring up and ask what the time was. You were actually directed to tell them to ring the speaking clock rather than tell them what the time was, because they'd get 20p out of it or whatever. You know? And the same with it. Have you got the number? No, sorry, that's director inquiries. But the amount, you know, bus timetables, you name it. So it's always been there. It's just moved. It's just moved online.
Yes, I get
the impression here, actually, that this is kind of the old world not quite catching up with the modern world, or perhaps a wistfulness, because historically, if you wanted to know what time Morrison's closed in Felixstowe, you'd talk to somebody, you'd ask them, and they said, well, I don't know, I haven't been down. But tell you what, Mrs. So-and-so, her daughter, she always comes home about 8:10, and she works there, so I reckon it closes about 8:00. All you're seeing here on Facebook is just a replacement of that old conversation, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Yes. It's gossip.
But also the amount of people that don't say please. They don't say what time does the library open in Felixstowe or whatever town. Please and all that. Some people just say, what time's the library open? Anything? That's rude.
I think it's a really sad thing as well that probably half the people listening to us right now are saying, what's a library? We haven't had one for 5 years around our way.
Joan in Long Melford's been in touch. She's going back to your gluten-free issues.
Yes.
Saying her niece has had celiac disease since she was a young child. Once upon a time, she said, you could get things on prescription. Like
That's right.
Is that used to?
Correct, yeah, they used to. That stopped, I think, Christmas before last, I think. There's a big signs up in all the chemist shops where it says you no longer are able to get gluten-free food on prescription, yeah.
Hence the rise in the number of shops doing it, presumably.
Well, I guess so. I mean, from what I understand, the some of the food wasn't terribly tasty anyway that came from via the prescription. So, yeah. But yeah, that's a bit of a pain,
Anyway, well, Joan says it's very expensive gluten-free flour, as you were saying, and lots of these products says it's wrong and something should be done about it. I wasn't aware of that.
Interestingly enough, some shops now are selling, I think, some sausages now by as standard are gluten free, so you'll find that they've actually removed the gluten as a standard product rather than as a specialist. But there you go.
But it will be one of those things, isn't it? If there are enough people who need it, it's supply and demand, isn't it? It will become easier to get hold of, and hopefully at some stage, bit cheaper to do it as well. Tim, what else have you got for us? What would you like to offer?
There's also the thought of things that I really don't want to buy, but people want me to buy. So, for example, the phone calls that I get at home, and I'm not going into PPI and all the rest of it, because we've done those to death, haven't we? But the one that says, we don't think your computer's working properly, we'd like to help. Well, obviously, you know that's a scam, I know that's a scam, and I hope now that from listening to this, everybody else will. But I'd like to praise my mum-in-law. I think she'll probably be listening in, Doris Oram. She's as sharp as anything, and she gets these calls occasionally. Doesn't have a computer, of course. But she'll string them along for 20, 25 minutes because it stops anybody else from being pestered in the meantime.
Yeah, well, I mean, that in itself is a public service
Absolutely.
To everybody else, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's if you've got the time to do that, or the inclination, indeed, to do that. I've done that in the past, and I haven't done it for quite a while, but it is one of those things that's just so annoying, isn't it? And people do get taken in by it still, despite all the warnings.
But then there's the other type of call, which I'd love to be taken in by, but I'll explain. we've noticed your broadband speed's a little bit slow. Yes, it is. Would you like to upgrade to our super-duper-duper-duper system? Yes, I would. It'll cost you more. That's fine. I'll throw money at you. I don't mind. That'll be brilliant. We'll put you through to the sales team. Oh, it doesn't cover your area.
Well, that's always the way, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, the phone calls that people get now.
I record a lot of the calls. If I'm at work, because I happen to have a microphone beside the computer, I generally, if I get a call about my computer is not working properly, I'll start recording it and then proceed to challenge them with ridiculous questions, and it's quite good.
My only tip, because I do get a lot of them as well, is that when you answer the phone, when you first answer the phone, the chances are they've probably got 5 or 6 calls on the go. A lot of them won't answer, or they'll put the phone straight down. If they answer that call and nobody speaks within about 2 seconds, you can normally hear the background of a call centre or something like that in the background. Oh, I'm gone, mate. That's it. Phone is down straight away. And you've taken all that
I found on my phone at work, I can press *6, which will record the call, and it actually announces call recording, and generally there'll just be a click and they'll put the phone down. Yeah.
We were talking about this in the green room before, weren't we, lads? And it's frightening, though, how I've got a very, very sensible friend, and she's middle-aged, and she fell for this last year. She was just on a bad day and at a weak moment, and she fell. It's the Microsoft. They say they're from Microsoft, don't they? And they take over your computer, and then they charge you a load of money to have it refixed. And she's a real sensible woman, and she was so upset by it, the effects it had on her mentally kind of thing. She was just devastated that she'd been so stupid in a weak moment to have fallen for this particular scam. But this is why they're carrying on doing it all the time, aren't they? Because people are falling for it all the time.
I mean, yeah, and what's worse, it's just awful. The ransom demands now that are put on these computers, where basically they gain access to your computer, they then encrypt all of your data, and that only they have the password to access it. So then you are basically ordered to pay a ransom for that key to be given to you in order for you to have access to your files again.
Yeah.
And that's quite common now for that kind of thing to happen.
Yeah.
It's very unpleasant.
But to stay one step ahead of all these different scams that are coming, it's a nightmare.
I did have someone ring me up and say I had a verm in my computer, which I think they said a worm. I have a verm. And I said, what, in my computer? And they said, yes, you have a verm. I said, what? Well, there's an animal in my computer. Said, there is no wildlife in your computer.
Yeah, they come in all shapes and sizes, do they? Now, we ought to just give another little play to our lyric today, which James Hazel's very interested in hearing.
Is it my boy? Is it my grandson again?
Listen, let's find out. It's also clearly a mystery voice competition as well.
What happened here? Wishing well, no hopes inside it. Take your love and promises. And make them mad.
There's a budding broadcaster there, isn't there?
He's only three.
Bless him, though.
Does he walk around sounding of compression wherever he goes?
It's built into his throat, like all true broadcasters.
Built-in
compression. Yeah. Okay. And he's got the breath thing after every sentence.
Yeah, it's all there.
Like we all have to do.
Like Phil Mitchell in EastEnders.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell you what, Keith.
Yeah, to a cafe.
Anyway, if you know what song that was, I suppose it was.
I do.
Well, I know you do. You can't enter. You're star.
Caught up in your wishing well, your hopes inside it. Take your love and promises and make them mad.
Yeah, just call us now. 01437 212 121. Pair of tickets to 60s Gold. Pair of tickets to Newmarket Open Weekend. Plus admission to the races and all of that. And the Ugly Duckling. You've got about 5 minutes to get your calls in. And James is here after midday.
That is true, after midday, Mark. As you know, we like to look at the cutting edge of news. Today is Teddy Bear Day. Do you still have one? How old is it? And what's its name?
It's Blue Teddy. I have Blue Teddy. And he must be, he would be 47 years old.
47 yeah. years old. Has he still got everything? Eyes? Stuffing?
He has stuffing. He's
nose?
He's in a kung fu suit because he started wearing out and falling apart. So my mum made a kung fu. He's got a grey kung fu suit with a red belt.
Did
on
you
it.
Buy it thinking it was a model of Carl Douglas?
No.
Carl Douglas.
His nose wore out, so we were at my great aunt in Wales, great aunt and uncle in Wales, when the nose started spilling out stuffy. So my mum cut a pair of my Uncle Charles underpants.
Nice.
And sewed them. They were clean.
There you go.
He didn't like remove them.
Blue pant nose.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay.
Uncle Charles underpants.
Yeah. I still have my original teddy bear. I also have my original Tim Rabbit. And I don't know which is the older, but both I've had since a very, very few days old.
It is incredible the amount of folk who've been in touch with us already who still have a teddy bear from their youth.
Pinky the Worm.
It's yours. Isn't that a separate conversation?
And it's in the bedroom. It's one of those things I won.
It's in the bedroom.
I won it on one of those crane things on the seafront.
Let's just recap the last minute of airtime. We've had Blue Teddy and Pinky the Worm.
Yeah, Pinky the Worm. There you go. So more.
Do we need more?
Heart-stopping, thumping headline news from midday today. Also, back in the day, 64, what a year. 81. I was born one of them, and 81, I left school in 81. That's embarrassing.
I left in 80.
I know.
That's why they should bring the grammar schools back.
We'll name that racket with the old Joanna. That's coming out for a bit of a tinkle. And Georgie's got the showbiz. So today, do you still have a teddy bear? How old is it? And what's its name? What's surprising, as many chaps have been in touch to say, yes, I still have mine. And that's heartwarming to me.
Yeah.
You know, as someone who had a hot-cold relationship with Action Man, that's heartwarming to me. So that's all from 12.
Did he have realistic hair, your Action Man?
And he had wiggly eyes.
Yeah, wiggly. And yeah. Did he have the dog tag where you
yeah,
pulled it out?
Yeah, if you pulled his thing, he said stuff.
Yes.
There was a
rep kit that with chewing gum when we were kids.
There was a $6 million man when I was a kid. There was the $6 million man. He had the
you could look through his head,
yes, because he had an eagle eye.
That's right.
Yeah,
an eagle eye. Yeah, could you pull his thing?
No.
He'd have said something.
You could pull part of his arm away and see the electronics. Yeah.
If I was going to have £6 million spent on me, probably that's where I'd start.
It does make you wonder whether we've actually come forward in time. So, or actually
does a
back.
Bit, yeah.
All right, James, thank
See
you very
later.
Much. I was going to get another thing, but I don't think we've got time now. But let's just reflect for a moment on Pinky the Worm. Yeah, we've done that now. So generally, and as you say, you know, this feature is drawing to its natural conclusion, chaps. Do we think, in the 2 minutes we've got left, that we've got more to moan about today, or have there always been grumpy old gits who've got about the same amount of stuff to complain about as they ever had?
They do say nostalgia isn't what it used to be, don't they?
Mm.
I'm sure when I was a kid there were plenty of people complaining it wasn't like the olden days. And I spent a wonderful, rather more time than I should, at the East Anglian Daily Times archives a few weeks ago, courtesy of Terry Hunt, looking some stuff up. And I was astonished, looking at the front page of local papers from 40, 50 years ago, to see that the kind of crimes that were being reported then were just as nasty, just as domestic, just as violent, just as horrible as they are today. So maybe the world hasn't changed as much. But perhaps our perception of it. The reporting and our perception of it, maybe.
Instant is instant news now, and instant everything's instant.
Yeah. And everything that happens now is worse than the last time. This is the worst thing since fill in the gap. You know, it always is. But actually, I wonder whether we are actually all worse off, or whether we're just finding more things to complain about.
Well, I was made to feel very grumpy about 18 months, 2 years ago, when Mark Murphy phoned me up at home and said, Neil, we've got this new feature starting, which I think you'd be ideal for. It's called the Grumpy Old Git. So I thought, well, I didn't know whether to say thank you or to unfriend him on Facebook. But perhaps take this opportunity. Thanks, Mark, if you're listening. It's been real good fun. And Darren and Sally, you've been legends keeping us in control. And if I could just give you this small poem as a parting shot of my grumpiness.
Yeah.
And that's, I wish I were a glowworm. A glowworm's never glum. For how can you be grumpy when the sun shines out your bum?
Absolutely. I think
that's
fantastic. We can all go through our lives like that. It's all about worms with you, isn't it?
Yes, it seems to be. Yes, Pinky the Worm.
It's worm heavy this week.
Very
isn't
worm
it?
Heavy.
Worms in computers as well.
All right, Neil, great pleasure as ever. Neil Bowles, Tim Edwards, and Matt Porter. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much
for coming in today.